Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, we want to read verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Paul, of course, is writing to the local body of Christ that was located in Corinth. And as we know, this was a church that had numerous problems, a lot of struggles because of sin, a lot of divisions, a lot of contentions. There was much error in the church. And Paul addresses many of these throughout the letter. He also stresses the importance of each member having a right relationship with the head, Jesus Christ, and thereby having a right relationship to one another. So if you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, those two letters together reveal the sad state and condition that the very churches of the Lord Jesus Christ can slip into. And our text verse contains an exhortation which applies to all the members of the Lord's churches. And the truth is, if each member would heed what is written in 1 Corinthians 12, it would prevent a church from sliding into some of the conditions of the Corinthian church, and it would also bring churches out of that condition. So what is written here is an exhortation. It is a responsibility and duty of each member of one of the Lord's churches. And in our text, Paul is speaking upon the subject of ambition for spiritual excellence. And that is the subject of the message, ambition for spiritual excellence. The truth is today, if you were to take a good look at the Lord's churches, we're not going to concern ourselves with churches in name, but just the Lord's churches. There's very little spiritual ambition. Very little ambition for spiritual matters. Very little ambition for spiritual excellency. Now, Paul says, everything Paul says in this verse centers around or relates to that word spiritual. You see that word, second line in my Bible, it may not be in yours, but even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual. And everything he says centers around that. Everything he says has reference to that, spiritual. Spiritual is that which is sacred. It is, it's set apart. It's holy. It's non-secular. That which is spiritual is not secular. It is the act of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, Paul speaks of spirituality has a state or condition, and he says that it's opposite of carnal. He says, I could not speak unto you spiritual things. And then he went on to tell them because they were carnal. They could not receive spiritual things because they were carnal. That was a problem in the Corinthian church. That is a problem today in the Lord's churches. Many who sit in the Lord's churches are unable to receive spiritual things because they are carnal. So, this word spiritual is that which is most important. The spiritual is always more important than the physical. Always. Doesn't matter what the situation is. The spiritual is always more important. And the spiritual should take precedence. The reason that many are absent from worship services is because the spiritual does not take precedence. And because they are carnal rather than spiritual. So again, the exhortation of our text concerns that which is spiritual. And there are five words in relation to such, in relation to that which is spiritual, that we want to use as a focus of the message. Those words are zealous, seek, the word may, the word excel, and the word edifying. All five of those words have reference to this one word, spiritual. Now, as we look at these words, we're not going to look at them as in the order that they appear in the text. But notice, first of all, the words ye may. This speaks of the fact that there is a spiritual possibility, a spiritual opportunity that exists. Again, ye may. That is a phrase expressing personal, ye, and collective. It is personal and collective possibility. That you may do something is a possibility, is an opportunity. For the child of God, there is always personal possibility. There is always personal opportunity concerning that which is spiritual. Now the problem is that many times that is drowned out, that is drowned by the carnal. But there is always the possibility and there is the opportunity concerning that which is spiritual. This possibility and opportunity involves, this will be our second point. First point is there is a spiritual opportunity, a spiritual possibility. Bringing us to our second point, there is a spiritual objective or goal. Notice what it says in verse 12. That ye may excel. That's the possibility. That's the opportunity. Again, it goes back to spiritual. Excel. That ye may excel. To excel, again, is the personal possibility. It is the personal opportunity. The word excel means to surpass, to go beyond a point. It means to do better. It means to exceed a certain point. And again, keep in mind, this is with regard to that which is spiritual. So we can, it is a possibility, it is our opportunity to excel spiritually. So reading those words, ye may excel, we learn that there is the possibility and opportunity for each one of us to surpass wherever we are spiritually. Wherever you are spiritually, wherever I am spiritually, and we're all in different places, But wherever we are spiritually, there is the possibility and there is the opportunity to surpass, to go beyond where we are. That ought to thrill us, to think that I can go beyond where I am. There isn't a single soul that has ever, for one second in their life, hit the spiritual pinnacle. Hasn't happened. It's not going to in this life. So that we can excel spiritually, that means a lot of things. It means that you can take the most holy individual, and that individual can be more holy. It means that you can take the strongest individual, and that individual can be stronger. Not only is it possible to be more holy, not only is it possible to be stronger, we have the opportunity. God provides us opportunity every single day to be more holy and to be stronger spiritually. The most spiritually learned individual can be more learned. No one has, again, hit the pinnacle of spiritual knowledge. They haven't even come close. They haven't even scratched the surface. It is possible that every single one of us be more learned than we are. And we have opportunity every single day to be more learned than we are. The most believing it, the one who believes the most, the one who has the most faith, can have more faith, can believe more. The individual who is the most loving can be more loving. That's a possibility, and the opportunity is there every day. And whoever it is that is the absolute closest to the Lord right now in this assembly can be closer. You see, the attitude is all wrong. I'm close to God, why aren't you? I'm close to God, I wish they would straighten up. There's something terribly wrong with that. I'm close to God, but I need to be closer. That needs to be the attitude. And I have the opportunity to be closer. The most submitted and yielded individual can be more submitted, can be more yielded. The one who is most victorious, they have victory over temptation, they have victory over trials, that individual can be more victorious. Because is there anyone who is completely victorious? Is there anyone who is completely victorious over their flesh? Not only. We're in no danger. So we can all excel spiritually. That we can excel means that whatever our relationship with God is right now, there's something beyond that even greater. There is a greater relationship than what we have right now. That it is possible for us, and we have the opportunity. And I believe every day God gives me and He gives you an opportunity to be more closely associated with the Lord. To have a greater personal contact with God. To be more familiar with the Lord than we are. To have a greater friendship with God than we have. And to have a deeper and stronger and more meaningful and a more relevant relationship with the Lord. All of these things are possible, that ye may excel. The word may again introduces a possibility, introduces an opportunity, and then we see what it is. And that is to excel. So that word excel, relating to spiritual things, means that there is always a higher plane of spiritual living than where we are. There is always a greater experience of the things of God. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. But even if you're caught up into the third heaven, there's even greater things. There's even greater experiences than that. David in the 23rd Psalm said, "My cup runneth over." And even when our cup runs over, there's something beyond that. There's even greater experiences. There's more enjoyment of the Lord than what we have. There are more spiritual treasures to enjoy. So whether it be spiritual knowledge, or faith, or grace, or power, or joy, or assurance, or peace, there is always more to be obtained. And it is possible for me to obtain it, and I have the opportunity to obtain it every day. The amazing thing about spirituality is there's always more. There's always more. As great as it can be, there's always more. This ought to make us ambitious for spiritual things. But today people are caught up with there's more in the world, and that's where they are. And that's where their ambition is. It's in the world. I've got to get ahead while I've got the opportunity. What about spiritual opportunity? You see, they've got the priorities wrong. They put the carnal over the spiritual. And most of them will deny it. But they can deny all they want to. Their lives speak volumes. It's clear to everybody but themselves that they have more ambitious for the carnal than they do the spiritual. So there's always more. There's always, spiritually, there's always more to gain. There's always more to obtain. In spiritual matters, there's always room for advancement. There's always room for progress, and that is true in every single area of spirituality. Someone may say, "Well, I need to work on this one area," and that may very well be so. But the truth is, there's not an area in our spiritual life that does not need work. Because in every single area, if you were to pray 24 hours a day, there's still more. There's still more. We can still improve on prayer. So, ye may excel. Now, we must not be content to stop anywhere in our spiritual life. You see, that's the problem with most children of God that have been saved any length of time. They eventually become content to stop at a certain place. You take a newly saved individual, and that person just wants to keep advancing and advancing. But mark it down, more than likely, they too are going to hit a point. And the reason is because they're surrounded by those who do this. They too will hit a point where they are content to stop. Okay, I've gone far enough. This is where I stop. So there is possibility. We see also, thirdly, there is an attitude concerning this possibility. Notice what it says. Zealous of spiritual. Think about those words. Zealous of spiritual. Do we all agree that there is more for us spiritually? Do we all agree that there is more for each one of us to possess spiritually? Do we all agree that we can be and do more spiritually? If that be so, if we agree on that, then this ought to be true. Zealous of spiritual. I mean, if we agree that there is more for each one of us spiritually, that ought to have a powerful effect upon our lives. That ought to begin to shape our lives. Paul wrote in Galatians 4 and verse 18, "But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing." Is there ever a time when the spiritual is not a good thing? Is there ever such a time? Is there ever a time when the physical is more of a good thing than the spiritual? Never is there such a time. Good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. True spirituality is always a good thing. And the truth is, there is more for us spiritually. So that ought to affect us. It ought to affect us in a zealous way. What we mean by that is it ought to move us in a very zealous way. There is more for me spiritually. And I have opportunity to obtain more spiritually and to be more spiritually. That ought to move us in a very zealous way in the direction of the spiritual. Again, in relation to the spiritual, we read, "Ye may excel." Ye may excel. And that possibility exists, we ought to be moved in that direction. Why is it that so many God's people are going in the opposite direction of spirituality? Why is that? It's because they are more zealously affected by the carnal than they are the spiritual. The truth is, we're going to be zealously affected by something. It could be the carnal. Everything that's not spiritual falls under the category of carnal. Doesn't mean that the carnal is always wrong. But the spiritual is always better. Always. Again, zealous of spiritual. It contains that conveys the idea, zealous, of fervor, of vigor, of enthusiasm. People, for the most part, are more, and I'm talking about God's people, are more enthusiastic for carnal things than they are spiritual things. That's just a fact. I mean, all you have to do is look around. It's true. They're more eager for carnal things than spiritual things. They will drive further for carnal things than they will spiritual things. It's always amazed me how 20 minutes from church is like a 20-hour journey. But people don't think anything about driving 10 hours to do something that they enjoy. Don't think anything of it. Well, I can't go to church here. It's 45 minutes away. But if there was something else going on 3 hours away, they wouldn't have any problem. Well, why is that? It's because they're zealously affected by the carnal rather than spiritual. And again, they can deny it all they want. They can try to justify it all they want. There's no justifying it. There's no explaining it away. It's just a simple fact. People are more zealously affected for the carnal than they are spiritual. And again, we're talking about God's people. We don't expect any different from lost people. There's more, the word zealous speaks of intensity. So notice what it says here, zealous of spiritual, that ye may excel. Zealous of spiritual, that's spiritual ambition. There ought to be, ambition is determination. Ambition means that we're motivated. It ought to motivate us. There's more out there for me spiritually. That ought to motivate me. Ambition is motivation. Ambition is resolve. You keep going, you keep going. It's an ambitious person. Where is spiritual ambition? Ambition involves a commitment. Here in this case, it is a commitment to what? To excelling in a spiritual way. Committed to that. And if when you're truly committed to something, it takes an awful lot for something to get in the way. That you are truly committed to. You watch people today. They're playing a game on their phone. They almost get run over by a car because they're engrossed in this thing. They're committed to it. You watch a couple in a restaurant. Neither one are looking at each other. They're both on their phone. They're more committed to their phone than they are each other. And nothing's going to get in the way. Nothing. And that's how it ought to be spiritually. That's spiritual ambition. Ambition gives us a sense of purpose. The fact that we can excel spiritually ought to give us a purpose. That's our purpose. To excel spiritually. So again, it is possible for us to possess and be more spiritually. So we ought to ask ourselves the question, how zealous are we toward the spiritual? When there is a conflict between the carnal and the spiritual, and Satan always brings these conflicts up, and I believe the Lord presents them to test, there's always conflict. How much thought do we have to give that? I mean, how ambitious are we? And how often do individuals choose the carnal over the spiritual? So we have to ask ourselves, what is our level of eagerness towards spiritual things? What is our level of passion and energy toward the spiritual? How spiritually ambitious are we? Again, you look at most churches today and it's filled with spiritually lazy individuals. They care very little about spiritual matters. You will always have more people show up at a fellowship dinner than you will a church service. Why is that? Well, we got to eat. It's because they're more ambitious for the carnal than they are the spiritual. And we're glad they come. But you're not fooling anybody but yourself. You're more ambitious for the carnal than you are the spiritual. People will cancel their plans for fellowships. But if something comes up that would interrupt a worship service, they go for that. Why? Because they're more ambitious for the carnal. Well, I only have grandchildren once. Yeah, and this may be your last spiritual opportunity too. Well, they're only 18. You know, I got to go to my granddaughter's 18th birthday or my daughter's 18th birthday. They're only 18 once. That's true. They're only 19 once also. They're only 20 once, 21 once, and on you can go. I've never been any age twice. It's always once. That's the most foolish argument I've ever heard. Well, no, that's not true, but it's a very foolish argument. Fourthly, there is a pursuit. Notice the word seek. Zealous of spiritual. Seek. The seek is in relation to the spiritual. What are we to seek? Seek that ye may excel. It conveys that when you seek for something, you search for it. You look for it. So it conveys the idea here of searching and looking for spiritual excellence. The word seek can mean trying to obtain. You seek to do something. We are to try to obtain spiritual excellence. To seek means to work toward a certain goal. In this case, we're to seek that you may excel. So we are to work toward spiritual excellence. It means that we're to aim at spiritual excellence. Seek that ye may excel. To seek means that you are moving in a specific direction. So seeking that we may excel means that we move in the direction of excelling spiritually. The word seek speaks of a desire. It speaks of a hunger. It speaks of a thirst. It speaks of a longing. In this case, to spiritually excel. And again, it is done in how are we to seek? It is to be done in a zealous manner. That is, it is to be done with passion and devotion. It is to be dedicated to this. We're to be committed. There's to be an enthusiasm. It's to be done with great energy and great eagerness. Pursuing, possessing more and more and being more and more spiritually. Seek that ye may excel. That means that we, with great passion and energy, are to extend ourselves toward a higher plane of spiritual living. It means that we, with a great desire and longing, reach and press toward and launch out to excel spiritually. Seek that you may excel. That requires several things. It requires that we get out of the mindset of contentment when it comes to spirituality. We can't be content. Wherever we are spiritually, you can't be content there. Because if you are, you're going to get stuck there. When there's more. You don't want to get stuck there because there's more. If there wasn't any more, it'd be one thing. But there's more. So you don't want to stay there. You want to advance. So we have to get out of the mindset of contentment when it comes to spirituality. To seek that you may excel requires that we get out of the mindset of mediocrity when it comes to spirituality. To go through the motions is not enough. That's mediocrity. To seek that you may excel requires that we don't settle spiritually for what is the norm. Because the norm is sad. It means that we don't settle for the ordinary or the typical or the usual. We don't just try to fit in spiritually, because that'll leave you in a pretty sad state. To seek that you may excel means that you have to overcome the distractions that are in the way. You know, some people act as if they are the only people on the earth that have any distractions. Everybody else, they're just lucky. They don't have the problems I have. They don't have the distractions. That's nonsense. In order to advance spiritually, we all have distractions. We have to overcome the distractions. You have to live in an atmosphere that is conducive to excelling spiritually. So many times people put themselves in a position that is not conducive to excelling spiritually. I have to work on Sundays, they'll say. And therefore, I can't. And on it goes. But you see, they have the wrong ambition. Their ambition is misplaced. It's all a matter of priority. Well, you know, in another year, my shift's going to change and I'll be in church more often. But they won't. Even if their shift changes, they won't. Because their ambition is misplaced. Their ambition, and they'll replace that with another carnal ambition. They put themselves in a position that is not conducive to excelling spiritually. And then someone will say to the pastor, you need to minister to that person. They're not in a position to be ministered to. They put themselves in a spot where they cannot excel spiritually. They have to get out of that before they can excel. They're not going to excel where they are. But they don't understand that. And they refuse to accept that. I want to excel, but I don't want to come to church. Well, it's not going to happen. I want to excel, but I want to work on Sundays. I want to go fishing on Sundays. I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, then you're not going to excel spiritually. It's that simple. Fifthly, and lastly, notice that there is an impact upon concerning all this. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Again, what is written here is written to church members. And they are admonished and they are exhorted. What they are admonished and exhorted to do will have a tremendous and positive impact upon the church which they belong. Again, notice those words. To. A preposition expressing a point to be reached. To the edifying of the church. To excel spiritually. To continually surpass where we are spiritually. To continually do better spiritually has a positive impact upon the church of which we are a member. It has a favorable, it has a constructive, it has a useful, beneficial, and productive effect upon the church of which we are a member. To, again, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. To edify is to build. To edify is to fashion. It's to model. It's to shape. It's to increase. It's to establish. It's to confirm. And oh, how we need to realize that it is our spiritual condition and that it is our attitude toward our spiritual condition that goes toward building or demolishing the church of which we are a member. It's our spiritual condition to the edifying of the church. our spiritual condition, whether good or bad, goes toward fashioning and shaping the church of which we are a member. Someone may ask, well, how can we make the church better? There's only one way. Everybody be more spiritual. It's the only way. Oh, that's not what I mean. Well, then we're talking about two different things. If you're talking about making the church better, that's the only thing that makes it better, is people being more spiritual. Now, can you increase someone else's spirituality? No. We have to concern ourselves with our own spirituality. And if each and every individual would do that, if each and every individual would seek to excel spiritually, the church would be better. It wouldn't be worse. Can't be worse. It would always be better. And if we were excelling spiritually every single day, then the church is getting better every single day. You see, people, just like politicians, they misidentify the problem. And if you misidentify the problem, you have the wrong solution. The problem is a spiritual one. And the solution is a spiritual one. So, holding an office or a position in the church does not necessarily mean that we are contributing to the good of the church. We're only contributing to the good of the church if we are excelling spiritually, if we are growing spiritually. So you can take all the programs that are supposed to make a church better. If it does not make you more spiritual, it does not make the church better. Well, Pastor, I want to be a blessing to the church. What position do you want me to fulfill? If you want to be a blessing to the church, do this. Be more spiritual. It's simple. It's that simple. It's not about a position. It's not about an office. It's not about how much you do. It's about being more spiritual. Even faithful church attendance does not mean that you are necessarily contributing to the good of the church. It's all a matter of spirituality. I mean, if we come in the church, we're faithful in our attendance, but we're not spiritual, we're not worshiping, are we contributing to the good of the church? I don't think so. We're contributing more to the demolishing of the church, because the purpose of the church, the purpose is worship. Worship. And we have gotten ourselves in a condition where, and we preach a whole series on this, it's hardly even possible anymore for God's people to worship. And once you lose that, don't worry about making the church better. It's gone. It requires spirituality. It requires spirituality to worship. How can we make our worship service better? Be more spiritual. I mean, it's that simple. Or we just need more music, or we need more of this, or more of that. That'll make it better. To the carnal eye. But what will really make it better? Spirituality. You see, that's always the answer. That's true with husbands and wives. What'll make our marriage better? Well, there may be many things, but I'll tell you this, you get more spiritual, you're well on your way. A lot of things solved. Just husbands and wives both getting right with God. A lot of things will be solved right there. Take care of a lot of things. So it is our spiritual condition that either contributes to the spiritual increase or demise of the church of which we are a member. Again, to the edifying of the church. Our spiritual condition is to go toward the spiritual support, the spiritual help the spiritual assistance of the church of which we are a member. Our spiritual condition is to go toward the nourishment and continuance of the church. There are people who, we want the church to be here 50 years from now. Well, yeah, that's true of all of us. We want that. But they teach their children, by example, to stay away when there's something better to do in their mind. But we want the church to be here 50 years from now. But they're contributing to the demise of the church. And by not being more spiritual, they're contributing to the demise of the church. Well, I'll have you know I'm here every church service. That may be so. But if we're not spiritual, we are contributing to the demise of the church. We get things all backwards. We seem to think, well, as long as everybody's here, then the church is doing better. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It depends on the spiritual condition of the individual. So our spiritual condition determines whether we contribute to the strengthening or to the weakening of the church. Someone says, I want to be a blessing to the church. I want to strengthen the church. Be more spiritual. That's all there is. Be more spiritual. How zealous we ought to be to seek continually to excel spiritually. How we ought to strive to excel spiritually. We ought to dedicate ourselves, commit ourselves individually to spiritual excellency in our attitudes. Spirituality will change a lot of attitudes. Spirituality will change a lot of behavior. We must be dedicated and committed to spiritual excellency. Why? For the honor and glory of God. Because God is pleased. And as a bonus, it edifies the church. It strengthens the church. So may it always be our spiritual ambition to advance spiritually. We need a good dose of spiritual ambition. It's almost extinct. It's a rare thing to see true spiritual ambition. God help us to be ambitious spiritually. And we would be motivated by this fact that there is more for me to possess spiritually. And I can be more spiritually. That's true of every one of us. It'll be true tomorrow. It'll be true Friday. It'll be true Saturday. It'll be true Sunday. And it'll start all over again next week. It'll always be true that there is more for you and I to be spiritually. That fact ought to make us ambitious to strive for that spiritual excellency. Brother Tim, if you'd come.